So while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others.
Father God, we thank you so much that you are not served by us as though you needed anything at all, but we do bring you our adoration and worship. And Lord, we pray that you would, when somebody comes, you hope they're going to live up to your expectations. You know, there's high standards to be met. And she seems to be doing something now. Melissa, what are you doing?
Just hang on a sec.
Look, what way is that to treat me, eh? Hang on a sec. What are you doing?
Wait, just wait.
What are you doing?
I'm making a person.
You're making a person? Why are you making a person?
Look.
It's brilliant. Is that paper and sticky tape? You must be a youth worker. Is it? It's not.
Hang on.
No. How much longer are you going to take? She's got a sellotape. She needs one of those sellotape machines. They're great. Recommend it. Oh, look. It's almost finished now. Look. What do we think? The arms. The arms. I think. Is that
it's
the arm?
Fine.
It's fallen off.
There we go.
What do you think? It's not very good, is it, really? Melissa, I think you could have done better there, really.
I spent hours on that.
You spent hours doing it. And, it's not great, is it? What is it, anyway?
It's a person.
It's a person? Yeah. Is it? It's supposed to be a person. What do you think of that person? I don't know. I mean, it's not as if there's not other people in the room, is there? I mean, we've got lots of people in this room, haven't we? I mean, Phoebe, can I borrow you a minute? Phoebe, come here. Look, Phoebe's a person. Phoebe, can you wave your hand? Yeah, look, Phoebe can wave your hand. Can yours wave your hand? With a little bit of help, maybe. Can you sort of run on the spot, Phoebe? Yeah, Phoebe can run on the spot. Can yours run on the spot? Oh, did you? Oh, that's not good. That's not good. Can he run on the spot? His leg's about to fall off, I reckon. Well, Phoebe, can you add 153 and 230? No. Phoebe can't add that. Can yours add that?
I don't know, can it?
No, it doesn't make a sense. If you jump up and down, does your head stay on? Thank you. Does your head fall on? No, not really. Look, the difference is that Phoebe was made by God. Your person was made by Melissa. I think that's probably the difference. So this is God's person and this is Melissa's person. Thank you very much, God's person, Phoebe. But I think that's something that we really need to think about, isn't it? In fact, actually, God made all of us here, didn't he, apart from that one? God made all of us. In Genesis 1, that's great, leave him there. His arms are going to fall off, but never mind. In Genesis 1, the very first words of the Bible say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth and the earth. God is the creator of all things. In John 1, which we read a few weeks ago, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was of God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And Paul says in this chapter, in Acts 17, to the people of Athens, he says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. So God being our creator doesn't mean that he just made us. It's not like churning out bicycle pumps or something in a factory somewhere. That's the easy part. In fact, God leaves most of that to our genes and our biology and to our mums and our dads. But the difficult thing is him making us like himself. The Bible says that God gave us all the image of God, his own image. We are like God in many ways. It's his creativity that goes into us. It's making us, every single one of us, completely different. There's 7.6 billion people in this world, and every single one of us are different. That's just wonderful and amazing, isn't it? But God is more than just our creator, because he hasn't just created us, made us, and then walked away and left us to it. Because God loves us. He provides for us. He's good to us in every way. We are like the sheep of his pasture, if you like. God looks after us like a shepherd looks after his sheep. He made us so we are his, the Bible says. And he takes care of his own people. And that's why he's worthy, as we come to worship, of our adoration. Adoration is a big word. It just means simply to show somebody that we love them, to adore them, we love them. And when we come to worship on a Sunday morning, we're not just coming to catch up with friends, or as nice as that is, or have a good time. We are coming to respond to God, our Creator, to what God has done, is doing, and promises to do in the future. But more importantly as well, who God is, who he actually is, what he's like, his character, as well as his actions. Worship begins with God. He is holy, he is almighty, he is the one who made us, he loves us, and he deserves our worship. So that's why the first part of our service should point us to God, and that's hard sometimes, because we're all busy people. We have a tendency to turn off a little bit late, which would be good to change. Our thoughts are everywhere. There's things to do, isn't there? There's things to set up for church. There's people we haven't seen for a while. And that's why it'd be great if we could just come early and get ready to adore God, to worship God. And as soon as the service leader is then up here and ready to speak, then we're ready, we're waiting to bring our worship to God, to adore God. We need to come early, come prepared, greet others, and then we need to focus on God who we adore. Now we're going to do something else. So on your tables you will find some A5 pieces of paper, like this, and some pens. And what I'd like you to do is take your A5 piece of paper and your pens and make a card. an appreciation card, a thank you card, if you like. And so you've got 2 minutes to do this. You're not allowed to think very much. And I'd like you to write some words of encouragement or appreciation to somebody else in the church. And they're not allowed to be somebody on your table, because otherwise it's going to get very interfamiliar or intrafamiliar or something like that. So, not allowed to write to somebody on your table, but I'd like you to write something of appreciation to somebody else. It mustn't be too personal, because the post is so bad, you never know where it might end up. But write some nice things about somebody else in this building on your cards. Okay, you're done. Great, good, thank you. Right, now you need to get ready to post it. So now you need to take your card, and if you fold it into a sort of card shape, you have to undo that, and you have to fold it that way. We couldn't afford envelopes, I'm afraid, so you're making your own envelopes. So you fold it that way, got it? And then you open it out again, and then you fold the top corner down like that. And then you fold the other corner down like that. And then you fold it back together like that. And then you fold that bit over there, sort of thing. Can you see that sort of thing? So keep up, Lucas. Haven't you ever been taught how to do this before? And then you fold the other bit like that. And then your envelope should look something like that. And now, when you're ready, you may stand, but you may not move. Okay, you may stand if you wish, but you may not move from where you are. And then you have to post your words of encouragement to the person they're directed at. Okay, on the other side of the room. Ready? Okay, are you ready? You may stand, but you must not move from where you are. Okay, are you ready to throw? Okay, ready, go. Right, great, well done. Okay, now you need to pick up your letter that you've received, which is the nearest one to you. Mine's completely blank. Somebody's cheated. Would anybody like to read out what they received? What you've just been doing is hopefully saying nice things about people. You've been saying they're wonderful or whatever. And in a sense, what you've been doing is worshipping that person, because the word worship comes from this old English word that we have on the screen, Simon. That's the one. I don't know how you say that. Worship. Which means to ascribe worth, to give worth to something. Worth is the value or something. So worship is a way of recognizing the worth of the thing that we're worshipping. So when you've thrown your cards, and some of them may have ended up in the wrong hands, it's a shame, isn't it? How do you feel as the person who was meant to receive that card? You never got your words of encouragement, or you got something that was complete nonsense and looked completely unapplicable to you. But how, even worse than that, how would you feel if you're the person who sent that word and it's ended up in somebody else's hands? I hope nothing you wrote was too personal. The problem is that actually we do that all the time. We misdirect our worship away from God to other things or other people. And God sometimes doesn't get a look in, because we give worth to somebody else or something rather than to God himself. And the Bible calls that idolatry. It's what the people in Athens were doing. Paul went around the city and he saw all these statues made of gold and silver and stone. They were called idols. And the people there served those idols in the hope that they would get something back from those idols. They'd give them presents and offerings and things. But many of us in today's modern times, we don't have little statues in the corner of our houses very often, although some people do in other parts of the world. But what we might have is idols made out of metal or plastic or electronics. We might have idols of comfort or money or being popular. And sometimes if we look at where we spend our time and our money, that's where we will find out where our idols are. When we think that something or somebody is more worth more than God, then that's idolatry. We're taking our worship away from God, our creator, and giving it to things that he himself created, like the people of Athens did. And we all do it. Even when we love God, our hearts and minds so frequently, very easily get filled with desires for other things. When the Apostle John wrote a letter, 1 John 1, and he said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We all do it. Our worship gets misdirected to other people and other things. And that's why the second part of our service is always about saying sorry to God. We say sorry to God for loving and worshipping other things more than him. But God is good and he loves to forgive us. And John goes on to write, he says, if we confess our sins, if we say sorry to God, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and justify and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we're going to do now, as we do normally every Sunday. We're going to say a confession together, which will come up on the screen. And then I'm going to pray. So let's confess our sins, our idolatry to God, the times when we worship other things or other people more than God. Let's have a little moment of quiet as we can be, and then we'll say these words together. God our Father, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, you will keep your promise and do what is right, and you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. Father, have mercy on us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Thank you so much that you sent Jesus to this world to die for us, to die for our sins, so that we may be forgiven and purified. Father, we thank you and praise you that you delight to love us, you delight to forgive us. And we come to you in adoration and praise. And where we're sorry, we say sorry. And we thank you for bringing us back into relationship with you. Amen. Idols, they would have taken them money and would have tried to make them happy by doing good things and by saying the right things. But after all, these gods, these idols, they couldn't do anything for themselves because they were just made of gold and silver and stone, weren't they? So they couldn't actually do anything for themselves. But sometimes we come to church with that same kind of attitude. We think, you know, as if we're coming to church to sort of give God something. You know, here we are arriving at church and we need to bring this sort of big gift to God. And this is a particularly gift and a heavy, big and heavy gift that we're bringing to God. And we sort of bring this into church with us, and it's just this wonderful gift that we have for God. And we sometimes think like that, very proudly coming with our offerings to God. And in return, because we've been so good to God, we actually sort of, it'd be nice, wouldn't it, to receive something back from God, because that's what the people of Athens would expect from their idols. They'd expect a good harvest or something like that back from their idols. And we look to other people maybe to meet our needs, to give something back to us. That's a fair exchange, isn't it? We do something with God, we bring them this big gift by coming to church on a Sunday morning, and then we look to receive things from other people. It seems a fair exchange, doesn't it? That's what the people of Athens were doing with their idols. But we need to turn this thinking completely on his head, because this isn't a gift from us to God. This is a gift from God to us. In fact, there's even a little gift tag on it. Look, it says, what does it say? It says, from your heavenly Father God to my people of Christ Church Wokingham. Isn't that nice? So God has brought us a big, big gift. And what's on? Oh, there's stuff inside. And what? There's things inside. So what's inside? Well, we have the baby That comes out in Live Nativities every year. So we have the baby from Live Nativities. We should have bought Theo. We can eat at Theo today. Titus. What am I saying? Getting wrong Greek words. Titus. We got one of these as well. One of my many wooden crosses of every size. We have a wooden cross. A wooden cross for every occasion. So I'm going to leave that with the baby. Try not to knock him on the head. So, what do you think that represents? Jesus, very good. I'm very impressed. So, we have baby Jesus, and we have a wooden cross. So we have Jesus born into the world. We have the cross on which Jesus died. And Jesus tells us himself in Mark's gospel that he came not to be served by us, but to give his, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. But why did he need to do that? Well, Paul tells the people of Athens that Jesus would come again to judge the world with justice. And he tells the people of Athens that he's proved he's going to do this by actually dying, but then raising from the dead again. So what does this mean for us? Well, it's this wonderful, wonderful gift from God, isn't it? Because Jesus himself saves us from his own judgment, the judgment that is still to come. Jesus is God's greatest gift of all to us, because his death on the cross means that we are put right with God. We are redeemed by God. We are bought by God when we put our faith and our trust in him. So we come to worship God, to show our adoration for him, because he is our creator, he is holy, he is almighty. We say sorry to God, and then we receive from God the greatest gift of all, salvation from God, that comes only through Jesus. So on Sunday mornings, we not only adore God, we not only say sorry to God, but we actually receive from God. We receive from God through the prayers, through the Bible reading, through the preaching, when we hear God's word. We feel his love for us. We hear his assurance, him telling us that we are forgiven, we are loved, we are saved. And it's all because Jesus was born, he died, and he rose again. When we love Jesus and we decide to follow him, we have nothing to fear from God's judgment that is still to come. And that's a huge relief, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing, to be able to live our lives with no fear of God. So in worship, we receive from God instead of giving to him. And that means, instead of expecting every Sunday to give to God and to receive from others, we come to be blessed by God, and in turn for us to bless others. We receive from God and we give to other people. In a moment, we're going to sing our next song, and we just need to think about the words here. It's, I will offer up my life. It says, I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. Do you see, that's our adoration to God, pouring out the oil of love as our worship to him. And it says, in surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. So the sacrifice that we make to God is not money or gifts or good works. It's actually just simply a broken heart saying sorry to God. And then it talks about, in the chorus, it says, Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? What can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Do you see us talking about God's gift to us, the debt that we owe to him? And then the last verse is talking about the cross and how he opens up the gates of heaven for us. You see, it's a gift, isn't it? It's a gift from God. Please stand to sing. I will offer up my life. We're almost at the end now, but what we've actually been seeing here, when we've been talking about how God created us, how he's holy and loving, and how we need to say sorry to God, and how we're forgiven by God because of the great gift from God of his Son in Jesus. It's actually the gospel, isn't it? It's the good news. So what we actually do on Sunday morning is a little sort of, we walk you through the gospel, because we say God is the one who made us. We say we all need to say sorry to God because we've all sinned. We've all given our worship to other things or other people more than to God.
But God has given this wonderful, marvelous gift, the gift of Jesus
Christ, his Son, who came to redeem us and to bring us back into relationship with God, to forgive us. But there's one more gift in the box. What do we have there? What is it, I wonder? It seems to grow. Hang on. Oh, it grows. Oh, I was gone too far. Hang on. Oh, it's just grow. Hours spent on this, like Melissa with her person. Here we go. And it is a way out sign. And Daniel, can I have your help just to hold that? Without displaying any weaknesses. It's a way out sign. Yes, we come to worship to be sent out again. Because worship is not just about what we do in this hour in Sunday morning, is it? Worship is all of our lives. It's giving ourselves holy and pleasing to God. It's doing everything in the name of the Lord. This is our true and proper worship, Paul writes in Romans. So when we come to worship, we are built up by God. We receive this marvelous gift from him, and then we're sent out into the world to love others, to love God, and to love others. And to that end, we're going to sing our final song, which is "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." Please stand to sing.